Devotional practices. The proper way to celebrate one's birthday. Once when Guru Maharaj was present in Vrindavan during his appearance day festival, he sang the following kirtan written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Amar jivan sada pape rata nahi ko punyer lesha parere udveg diyache je kato diyache jiver klesh. Sharnagati 1.4.1. My life is perpetually dedicated to sin. Thus, I am without a trace of piety. I have given others great anxiety and brought only misery to living beings. His melodious voice was so heartwarming that all the assembled devotees began to cry. After performing this kirtan, he addressed the audience. Today is Uthan Ekadashi, the day when the Lord wakes up after resting for 4 months. It is also the disappearance day of my Param Gurudev, Shri Srimad Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Other devotees have already spoken at length about Srila Babaji Maharaj's glories today. So I am taking this opportunity now to pray to my Param Gurudev that I may become the recipient of his mercy and the mercy of his dearest disciple, my most worshipful Guru Maharaj, Shri Srimad Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. It just so happened that on this day in 1903, I was born in the Kanchipada village of Faridpur district of what is now East Pakistan. Footnote: present day Bangladesh. We find in the description of the birth ceremonies of Sri Ramchandra, Sri Krishna, Srimati Radhika and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how Sri Dashrath Maharaj, Sri Nand Baba, Sri Vishwabhanu Maharaj, Sri Jagannath Mishra respectively served the deity of the Lord, the Brahmins, their relatives and all living entities by offering edibles, cows, ornaments, sweets, donations and many other items. Additionally, they taught their children that on one's birthday, it is one's duty to beg for the mercy of their elders, touch their feet, pray to them, and listen to them narrate their experiences. Even today, this Vedic etiquette is followed mostly everywhere in India. My mother taught me early on how one ought to observe one's birthday. She used to say that on the day of his birth, a person is put into the prison of a gross and a subtle body to suffer his past karma. This suffering is reduced or increased according to his conduct. Conditioned souls should not view their birthday as an opportunity to happily contemplate the number of years they have been shackled in the prison of their gross and subtle bodies. Rather, they should use this day as an opportunity to serve and pray for release from this world. Or at least, pray in a repentant way for the ability to tolerate the suffering they experience here. They should be joyous only if they receive an opportunity to serve Sri Hari on that day. Liberated souls, on the other hand, are naturally joyous on the day of their birth, because for them it is a chance to celebrate and remember the years they have served their worshipful Lord in this world. They have not come here to suffer the reactions of karma. Rather, their only objective in this world is to deliver the conditioned souls from the darkness of ignorance by illuminating the spiritual path with the torchlight of knowledge. For this work, Bhagwan provides them with a salary of prem. On this day, the day of my birth, it is my duty to worship Sri Guru. For me, Sri Guru manifests in 4 ways. The first is the one who destroys my ignorance. Since Bhagwan is the source of unlimited knowledge, he is the root of Guru Tattva and thus appears in the form of Chaitya Guru. Therefore, it is my duty to worship him today. The second manifestation of Sri Guru is Srila Prabhupada, the founder of the Sri Chaitanya Mutts and Gaudiya Mutts established worldwide, who personally engaged me in the service of the Lord and thereby gave my life meaning. Thirdly, I considered the Vaishnavas, especially the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, as individual manifestations of Sri Guru, for they increase my remembrance of the conduct, instructions, teachings, and heartfelt desires of Srila Prabhupada. Fourthly, I considered my disciples as my gurus, because by always surrounding me, residing with me, and expecting me to be a model of proper conduct, they force me to behave properly and also cause me to deeply reflect on my every action. I will never benefit by associating with someone who offers me praise and flattery. Giving up such association, I will always keep the company of those who instruct me by pointing out my mistakes. Since I considered my disciples as my gurus, it is my natural inclination to serve them. Since I considered my disciples as my gurus, it is my natural inclination to serve them. I am not a fool that I will sit on an elevated seat and accept the worship of my worshipful objects for my own sake. If I were to do this, there would be no puja. Instead, when I see that my gurus have a desire to worship me on the day of my birth, I am obliged by affection to serve them by accepting such adoration, for they are my worshipful objects, and it is my duty to serve them by abiding by their wishes. In this way, there is no difference between worship and blessings. By offering me worship, they bless me that I may serve them by pleasing them through the medium of accepting that worship. By performing kirtan before me, they provide me with the opportunity to serve them by performing shravan, hearing. Although my disciples are my gurus, my great affection for them sometimes forces me to instruct and chastise them in the same way that Nandamava and Yashoda Maya are seen to chastise, punish, instruct, and even bind the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. Because of their deep affection, their mood of submissiveness to the Lord is eclipsed by their mood of being his loving father and mother. From one perspective, Guru is an authority figure, and from another, he is his disciple's closest friend and well-wisher. The concepts of being the protector and the protected are simultaneously present in the pure devotees of the Lord. Sometimes, according to need, the influence of one of these moods is seen to dominate the other, and sometimes the other is seen to be dominant. In this way, there is no fault if out of deep affection, the servant is seen to chastise or instruct the object of service. Today, a strong mood of being the protected has arisen in me, as you all are protecting me by bestowing your most merciful blessings upon me. We personally witnessed the manner in which Srila Prabhupada observed his appearance day by offering his gratitude and service to the Vaishnavas. Today, I will take this opportunity to serve you all and express my gratitude for continuously showering your blessings upon me. Those who worship me today should know that in reality, they have worshipped my Gurudev, who is the real object of worship for the whole world. Service to Shri Guru is as good as service to Bhagwan. At that time, Guru Maharaj personally offered Dandavat Pranam, sandalwood paste, garlands, cloths, and donations, first of all to his god brothers present there, and then to all the pandas, Brahmin priests. When someone would say, "Today is your appearance day, please be merciful to me," Guru Maharaj would reply, "I do not pay attention to whether it is my birthday or some other day. Even so, it is one's duty to serve sadhus on one's birthday, and I do not want to pass up a single opportunity to serve the Vaishnavas while I am still consciously aware. I am therefore using my birthday as an excuse to perform Vaishnav Seva. Because Vaishnavas do not wish to accept anything for themselves, they should be served on some pretext. It was Guru Maharaj's speciality that he would invite and offer respect to even the Gosais, who were principally against the Gaudiya Math, and give them the opportunity to listen to the pure, unadulterated teachings of the Gaudiya Math. Guru Maharaj would tell us, Vaishnavas are our worshipful deities. We must offer them Dandavat Pranam along with any offerings we may give them. We have learned this etiquette from observing the conduct of Srila Prabhupada. Some of the Vaishnavas present here, especially the disciples of my godbrothers, are like my disciples, and so they will hesitate to accept anything from me if I have to offer them pranam. Therefore, you should offer them all these items just as I have offered them to my godbrothers, with respect and proper etiquette. Some Vaishnavas have come from far away places, like Nandagram, Govardhan, Kamai Karela, Kishori Kund, and so on, and have spent a great deal of money to travel here. Offer them donations in such a way that some money remains after their travel expenses have been covered. Never be miser in the service of Vaishnavas. Spiritual impressions at an early age. Sometimes when Guru Maharaj would see a mother or father with their child, on the pretext of instructing them, he would tell them about his childhood. When I was just 4 years old, my father, Shri Nishikant Dev Sharma Bandopadhyay, left this world, and my mother, Srimati Shevalani Devi, was very devotional and highly inclined to serve sadhus. She maintained me, her only son, by residing in the house of her brothers. Because she was a devotee of the Lord, she would always make me listen while she recited from the scriptures and would daily have me memorize a few verses from Bhagavad Gita. As a result, I could recite the entire Bhagavad Gita from memory by the age of 11. Additionally, she would regularly narrate and teach the essential teachings of other scriptures to me, and I thereby learned them by heart. The impressions my mother's devotional practices left on my heart became the impetus for me to take up the spiritual path later in life. Taking birth in the home of a devotee is the greatest of boons. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written in his kirtan, Janmoyobi moi ichha jadi tor, bhakti grihe jani janma haye mor. Sharanagati 2.3.4. O Lord, if you desire for me to again take birth in this world, then may I be born in the home of your devotee. Nowadays, because of the influence of Kali Yuga, people are uninterested in teaching their children about spiritual matters, and they unfortunately consider such matters to be a waste of time. We must request people, especially the devotees, to train their children in such a manner that they receive permanent spiritual benefit by developing attachment to Nitya Dharma, or one's eternal duty. The heart of a child is like clay, which takes shape according to the potter's expertise. A deep concern for others. When Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Math's newly printed publications would arrive, Guru Maharaj would narrate a pastime from his childhood to inspire others not to make a business out of printing bhakti literature, and that they should instead see it as a means of helping others. He would tell us, in my childhood, I observed that many other students were deprived of a proper education because they were unable to purchase textbooks. I saved my own pocket money and also sought donation from a few affluent persons, and then used those funds to open a small library in my home. There, I created a space where the students could sit and study the library's textbooks. Gradually, I collected many more books, some new and some old. I later arranged for books to be delivered to those students who lived far away and were unable to visit my library. Textbooks in those days were not often changed or rewritten as they are nowadays. This incident demonstrates that since his very childhood, Guru Maharaj possessed a deep concern about the welfare of others. Most people do not possess such concern for others, even after reaching old age, but instead remain concerned only to fulfill their own selfish desires. The fact is, Guru Maharaj possessed such compassionate concern because of his previous samskars or impressions. Spiritual teachings on the pretext of an injury. Guru Maharaj also used to mention, "When I was a student, I was just injured while playing with my friends at school and started bleeding. A teacher arrived there after hearing about the accident from one of the students and tried to console me. I told the teacher, my mother had always told me that whatever the Lord does, He does solely for our welfare, and therefore my injury must have happened for my own good. I told him it was not a serious injury as I had not lost a limb, and that everyone must face the result of his previous actions. Being astonished to hear such insight from a young boy, the teacher tightly embraced me." Meeting with Srila Prabhupada in Shridham, Mayapur. Guru Maharaj told us that from a young age, he stayed with his maternal grandfather in Kanchanapada, along with his childhood friend, Shri Narayan Mukhopadhyay. Although the two were of the same age and began attending school at the same time, Guru Maharaj was so intelligent that he was twice sent to a higher standard or grade and therefore eventually studied two standards ahead of Shri Narayan Mukhopadhyay. The two were very close friends and visited many holy places together. After finishing their studies, they stayed together in a rented apartment in Kolkata, where they would often perform kirtan together. In relating the story of how he met Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Guru Maharaj would say, "Shri Narayan Mukhopadhyay and I once desired to have darshan of Shri Dham Navdeep, and we thus departed for Kolkata to stay in the Dham for a few days. There, we stayed at the Kanch Kamani Dharamshala and arranged to have our meals at a nearby hotel. While having darshan of Shri Dham Navdeep, we heard the glories of Shri Dham Mayapur and the beautiful deities of Mahaprabhu there. Because of this, I developed a great desire to have darshan of Shri Dham Mayapur. When we inquired from the local residents of Shri Navdeep Dham about Shri Mayapur, they said, 'Oh dear, Mayapur is very far away. If you were to leave now, you would not reach until dark. And when you were to finally arrive, you would discover there is nowhere to stay.' After the men left, an old lady standing near the bank of the Ganga said in a very soft voice, 'Baba, do you see that island with a palm tree across the Ganga? That is Shri Dham Mayapur. The residents of Navdeep have misguided you because they are envious. Do not pay any attention to them. Proceed to Shri Dham Mayapur for darshan by crossing the Ganga.' Shri Narayan Mukhopadhyay and I heeded the old lady's words and crossed the Ganga. When we reached Shri Chaitanya Math, we saw that a festival was happening there. Inquiring from the devotees at the Math, we discovered that a famous doctor from Kolkata, Shri S. N. Ghosh, along with his wife, had accepted Diksha from the founder Acharya of Shri Chaitanya Math, Shri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur Prabhupada. In order to honor this great occasion, the doctor and his wife arranged a festival for the service of the deities, Guru and the Vaishnavas. During the festival, Shri Narayan Mukhopadhyay and I met Srila Prabhupada for the first time. Upon seeing us, Srila Prabhupada asked, 'Who are we and why we had come to Shri Dham Mayapur?' We told him that we had come to have darshan of Sriman Mahaprabhu's Shri Vigraha, deity form. He asked, 'Have you not previously had darshan of any Shri Vigraha elsewhere?' 'Yes, many times,' I answered. 'I have visited Haridwar, Varanasi, Gaya, and other places. Do you think you truly had darshan of Sri Vigraha? Prabhupada inquired. Understanding the gravity of Srila Prabhupada's question, I replied, I certainly saw them with my eyes, but I cannot say for sure whether I truly had their darshan. Srila Prabhupada then said, What is the benefit of going for darshan if not to have darshan in the true sense? In reality, darshan is performed not with the eyes, but with the ears. The scripture says, Adhokshaj vastu shavaneka vedha. Hearing is the only method one can know an entity that is adhokshaj, or beyond material sensory perception. After speaking to us for some time, Srila Prabhupada asked us to accept lunch prasad there in the mutt. When I accepted his invitation, Sri Narayan Mukhopadhyaya protested, saying, We have already arranged to take our meals at the hotel. If you do not show up, they may become upset with us. I replied, We are very fortunate. A Mahapurusha, great personality, has invited us to honor Mahaprasad here. There is no need to worry about the hotel manager. Our relationship with him is based solely on money. As long as we pay him, all will be okay. In this way, Guru Maharaj related to us how he accepted Srila Prabhupada as a Mahapurusha in their very first meeting, and how he had full faith that his words were a source of great fortune. Performing service in secret. When Guru Maharaj returned to Kolkata from Sridham Mayapur, after his first interaction with Srila Prabhupada, he began to regularly visit the mutt at Sri Bhakti Vinod Asan, located at 1 Ulta Danga Road, Kolkata. In those days, Srila Prabhupada stayed in Kolkata for the majority of his time. Guru Maharaj would listen to Srila Prabhupada's Harikatha there, and by his regular association, his inclination to serve Sri Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas steadily increased. Every evening, he would serve prasad to all the sannyasis and brahmacharis in the mutt. Although it was forbidden for a person who had not yet received diksha to serve prasadam in the mutt, an exception was made for Guru Maharaj because he belonged to a high-class Brahmin family, possessed a favorable nature and had impeccable conduct. Guru Maharaj would engage the salary he earned from his profession in the service of Sri Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas by purchasing and anonymously sending whatever they needed for their day-to-day use. While doing this, he would remember the following words. Itavat janma safalayam dehinam iha deheshu praner arthe dhiya vacha shreya archanam sada. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.22.35. A soul that has accepted a human body will meet with all auspiciousness and success if he engages himself in the following Shreya Marga, that is, engaging his life, wealth, intelligence, and words in the service of the Lord and his devotees. No one in the mutt would have even the slightest clue as to who was regularly sending all these items. Guru Maharaj possessed firm faith in the essence of the principle described in Srila Jagannanand Pandit's Prem Vivarta that was often quoted by Srila Prabhupada. Gopnate Atyachar Gora Dhare Churi. Even if you misbehave in secret, Gora will catch you. Similarly, righteous activities performed in secret can never be hidden from Sri Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas. There is no need to externally speak about the service one has rendered. If a person recounts the details of his service to one and all, it simply reveals his hidden desire to gain worldly fame. Formally accepting shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Guru. Although the relationship between Guru and disciple is eternal, Guru Maharaj manifested the pastime of surrendering his life at the lotus feet of his Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Goswami Thakur by accepting formal initiation in Vaishnava Dharma. On the supremely auspicious day of Sri Radha Ashtami, 4th September 1927, Guru Maharaj accepted Harinam and Diksha from Srila Prabhupada as a favorable consequence of regularly and unfailingly hearing Srila Prabhupada's Harikatha and serving the Vaishnavas. At the time of initiation, Srila Prabhupada gave Guru Maharaj the name Sri Hay Grib Das Brahmachari. Guru Maharaj's childhood friend Sri Narayan Mukhopadhyay also accepted Harinam and Diksha that very same day. No room for self-interest in honesty. Prior to joining Gaudiya Math, Guru Maharaj worked for an English-owned business that purchased linseeds from farmers, packed them and sent them to England. Most of the employees worked under Guru Maharaj. Once, it came to Guru Maharaj's notice that some of the workers were adulterating the product by replacing linseeds with sand during the packaging stage. The stolen linseeds were then sold off and the profits were shared among the thieving workers. When Guru Maharaj heard this, he approached the owner and said, "Some of our employees are engaged in an extremely disgraceful act. For their petty self-interest, the reputation of the business is being destroyed. I made a huge mistake by blindly trusting them. You should therefore have me arrested. I do not even know for how long they have been engaged in such a dishonorable act. But ignorance cannot be accepted as an excuse. After you have me arrested, you may also have them arrested." The English business owner was highly astonished by Guru Maharaj's unmatched honesty. He tried to pacify Guru Maharaj by saying, "This is a delicate issue. Please be assured, we will handle it most conscientiously." Later, the workers were given a stern warning not to continue with their thievery, or else they would be reported to the police. Wishing only for the welfare of all. When Guru Maharaj was working in Kolkata before joining the Math, he once had a toothache. As a quick remedy to reduce the pain, one of his colleagues gave him a pinch of tobacco to be kept in his gums. Throughout his life, Guru Maharaj had never even inhaled the scent of intoxicants, and therefore when he put the tobacco in his mouth, he fell unconscious, being unable to tolerate its pungent smell. All his limbs turned bluish. It appeared as if he had been poisoned. His colleague was astonished and unsure about what to do. Guru Maharaj was admitted to Shambhunath Pandit Hospital. After receiving treatment, his health recovered somewhat. The doctor and the police officer asked him, "Whom do you suspect might have given you poison?" Guru Maharaj replied, "The person who gave me the tobacco, not poison, is my friend, and he gave it to me only for my well-being. My body simply rejected it. There were no ill intentions." After hearing Guru Maharaj's reply, the doctor and the police officer left. The person who had offered him the tobacco then told him, "If you would have mentioned my name, not only would I have lost my job, but I would have found myself in prison as well." Guru Maharaj replied, "I do not wish to be the cause of harm to anyone. I cannot falsely suspect or accuse anyone. I wish only for everyone's welfare and nothing else." The ability to recognize unparalleled love. When Guru Maharaj took shelter of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, but had not yet come to reside in the Math, he stayed in a big rented house in Kolkata. An artist relative had given him an oil painting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a gift, which he hung in the hall of his rented house. He would sit in front of the painting and perform kirtan with his godbrother, Shripad Narayan Mukhopadhyay, and friend Sri Haridas. Once his godbrother, Sri Srimad Bhakti Prakash Aranya Goswami Maharaj, visited his home along with Shripad Kirtan Prabhu during their monthly bhiksha collection. Seeing the portrait of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the hall, Srila Aranya Goswami Maharaj asked Guru Maharaj, "Do you feel happy upon seeing this very beautiful portrait of Sriman Mahaprabhu hanging on the wall?" Guru Maharaj replied, "Yes, Maharaji, I do. Sometimes I sit and chant in front of it, and I feel happy by seeing it." Srila Aranya Goswami Maharaj gravely asked Guru Maharaj, "Is it the duty of Sriman Mahaprabhu to please you by remaining present on your wall, or should you be the one making endeavors to please him? Bhagwan's name and deity form, which includes his portrait, are not different from Bhagwan himself. For his service, you should take his portrait down from the wall and keep it in a proper place." Accepting Srila Aranya Goswami Maharaj's teaching with firm faith, Guru Maharaj immediately took down the portrait of Sriman Mahaprabhu and through his own conduct demonstrated the standard by which one should show proper respect to the images of Bhagwan and his pure devotees by later sending it to Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math, where it was kept on the chariot during every future Nagar Sankirtan organized by the Math. Guru Maharaj did not previously placed such images here and there, nor did he allow any of his disciples to engage in such irresponsible conduct. When Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Math was established in Kolkata, Guru Maharaj installed the paintings of the complete Guru Parampara in the Kirtan Hall. He established the standard of properly respecting such images by daily offering Dandavat Pranams to them. After Guru Maharaj took the portrait of Sriman Mahaprabhu down from the wall, Srila Aranya Goswami Maharaj asks, "You have accepted Srila Prabhupada as your spiritual master. What arrangements have you made for cooking?" Guru Maharaj replied, "I have appointed an Odia Brahmin to cook for me. He is responsible for everything related to kitchen services." Hearing this, Srila Aranya Goswami Maharaj confronted Guru Maharaj, "Have your hands been eaten by crocodiles? Why are you unable to cook bhoga and offer it to Bhagwan on your own without the help of others?" Before Guru Maharaj could even respond, Shripad Kirtan Prabhu whispered to Sri Aranya Goswami Maharaj, "You should not speak to him like this. He comes from an affluent family. It is irrational to expect him to be able to do all the cooking himself. He has no experience with such things. Your harsh statements may make him lose faith in Gaudiya Math and become dissatisfied with us." Although Shripad Kirtan Prabhu was quietly whispering, Guru Maharaj could hear everything. Srila Aranya Goswami Maharaj became even more displeased after hearing Shripad Kirtan Prabhu's statement and said, "If I will not tell him, then who will? He is my godbrother, and I therefore possess the right to say anything I wish to him at any time." Guru Maharaj became overwhelmed with joy to hear this. The mamata, possessive affection Srila Aranya Goswami Maharaj displayed for him was unprecedented. Guru Maharaj felt eternally grateful to him for the rest of his life, and he served Srila Maharaj with great enthusiasm whenever the opportunity arose, offering his life to the service of the Math. After accepting Diksha, Guru Maharaj continued to reside in a rented apartment in Kolkata. After some time, his associate and housemate, Sri Narayan Mukhopadhyay, married and moved elsewhere. Thereafter, Guru Maharaj's cook, an Odia Brahmin, was the only other resident in Guru Maharaj's apartment. As we mentioned earlier, Guru Maharaj's senior godbrothers, Sri Srimad Bhakti Prakash, Aranya Goswami Maharaj and Shripad Kirtan Prabhu used to visit his apartment to collect a monthly donation. During one of their visits, Srila Aranya Goswami Maharaj affectionately said to him, "Hai Gri Prabhu, I see that you have not yet married and are living alone in Kolkata, away from your mother and stepbrothers. You must undergo great difficulty to maintain this apartment and make sure food is on the table. Despite all this effort, you are very sincerely serving Srila Prabhupada and the residents of the Math. Why don't you take a step further and engage all your time and energy in the service of the mutt? Society will glorify the mutt upon seeing that such a young, distinguished and well-educated person as yourself resides there. You are capable of performing many services. By joining the mutt, you'll be able to serve throughout the entire day and thereby become qualified to receive the true mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never advised to any of his unmarried followers, including Sri Gopal Bhatt Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatt Goswami and others, to perform bhajan in the Grastha Ashram. Rather, because their parents were Vaishnavas and because they were the only children in their immediate family, he instructed them to serve their parents while their parents were still alive and to perform sadhan bhajan in Braj only after their parents had passed away. It is my opinion that you should deeply consider dedicating yourself completely to the service of Srila Prabhupada as soon as possible. Honoring the words of his senior godbrother, Guru Maharaj abandoned all his worldly activities in a very short time and joined the mutt with a sincere and burning desire to fully engage himself in the service of Sri Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas through his mind, body and words. Desiring a permanent position. When Guru Maharaj worked at an English-owned business, the superior to whom he reported was an Indian manager. But when the owner of the company observed Guru Maharaj's dexterity, competence, his unmatched capacity, his habit of never remaining idle, and his enthusiasm, he would always call for him directly, saying, "Mr. Banerjee, Mr. Banerjee." When Guru Maharaj left his job and took complete shelter of Gaudiya Math, his first service was, as per the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, to accompany a preaching party to Madras, now Chennai. During that time, he received a letter from one of his previous colleagues saying, "I presume that you are now working for a firm larger than ours and that you are earning much more than you received here. Otherwise, how would it have been possible for you to leave in such a haste without informing any of us, especially when the owner, considering you dear, would always call for you even in the presence of your superiors?" In his reply, Guru Maharaj wrote, "What you have written is absolutely correct. I hold a position with high responsibility at a very large firm. The salary I received here is unimaginable. I sincerely pray that you bless me so that my position at this firm may become permanent."